This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out mariamenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! We're here to talk about another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast on AfterBuzz TV, and today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 13, Parting Shot! And we may or may not be feeling a lot of feelings.
Just
let this moment sink in a little bit.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
It's all gonna be okay, you guys.
It's fine. Everything's fine. I am totally fine with the events that are occurring.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
We'll figure
I think it out. If we maybe like want it enough, we'll mostly be okay. I think we'll have a marvelous time.
If we most want it.
Oh, want it.
That's
so
a good
much.
Way to put it.
All right, I'm putting the kibosh on that right away. Guys, we've got another fantastic... Oh, I didn't mean the song. But,
no,
but we've got a fantastic show for you tonight. Let me introduce my fantastic panel, and we have a wonderful guest. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hi, S.H.I.E.L.D. class of 2016. Wow, what a year. You can find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. Woo, go fighting Coulsons.
Class valedictorian Zach Wilson.
That's the first time I've ever been called that. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram, YouTube, at ThatZachWilson. And let me remind you guys, this is not the last... It's not the end of anything.
No, it's not.
O'Doyle rules.
Most likely to succeed, Joyce Ajuri.
Oh, thank you. I've also never been told that before. Just kidding. That's really sad. Hey, guys, you can find me on Twitter at JAjuri.
And I'm Class Clown Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. We are also going to be following along with the hashtag ABTVMarvel, as well as keeping an eye on the live chat. And just like last week, we have a little something special in store for those of you who are in the live chat later on tonight, so we'll get to that a little later.
I've got you guys. I'm watching. No Daredevil talk.
None of it.
I will find you.
No spoilers
here.
Be
nice.
Be nice, everybody. So, but let me go ahead and introduce our fantastic guest, Jim McCann.
Hey, everybody.
Comic book writer extraordinaire.
The audience loves him.
Oh, thank you. I love the audience. Ah, thank you. I love you more.
For those of you who don't know, Jim McCann wrote the fantastic Hawkeye and Mockingbird series.
That would have been a different series.
That would have been a completely different crossover. But
slash
so
fake.
He is basically responsible for bringing Mockingbird back into the comic public consciousness. So, any Bobby fans out there, you have this man to thank.
Woo!
Oh, thanks.
So,
you're welcome.
No.
You guys for reading and for wanting her back.
Yeah. And thank you again, because this is, like, Bobby's such a fantastic character, and this, I think it's safe to say that this episode was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster for you.
That's an understatement.
So gutted.
So much so, I think we're going to need something a little bit stronger than our normal water tonight. So, for...
Oh, man.
I love how half the bottle's gone.
Yeah. Well, it is in our mugs.
Yeah, it is already in our mugs. So, we should probably go ahead and start off this episode, as I talk into the mic, with a toast to our favorite dynamic duo, Hunter and Bobby. You will be missed.
To Bobby and
goodbye.
Hunter and Bobby.
We'll be hunting birds in our dreams.
Anybody want me to top you off, just let me know. I'll pass the bottle. That is like, rough.
It's like spy tears.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
It burns so bad inside. Well, okay, guys. I think this was a very unique episode. The planning of and pacing of this season has been very interesting, and they've been playing around with time a lot since the beginning of season three, and very, very heavily so once we hit the mid-season premiere. So I wanted to know, just initial impressions, apart from all of the feels, what would your guys' take on tonight's episode? Because it was something different than we're used to seeing.
I thought this was a great episode. There was a lot of stress going on, and not just like at the end when they're leaving the show, but the stakes were very high. The only reason we didn't think that they were if not for outside news, I would legitimately have thought they were about to kill Hunter, especially off. I thought either one of them could die. They really made you feel like they could go. When Hunter's getting dragged away, like, you thought he was going to be gone.
That story they set up with May and about sacrifice, and that's what S.H.I.E.L.D. is about, really kind of set the tone for, it's like, Hunter might make a play. Hunter might do something or sacrifice himself so that Bobby can come out free.
Yeah.
And, I think because of that, like, the entire show, you're just like, what is going to happen?
And when Hunter kept talking about how he wasn't quite feeling everything that they had been going on, like, he wasn't quite feeling or gelling with the direction things were, and that how they needed a break.
Yeah.
Not just how they needed a vacation, but how there was a pattern emerging, and he didn't like the direction that he saw things going in. And I mean, everything was rubbing against the grain for Hunter and for Bobby a bit. Yeah. So, I mean, you got this definite feeling from both of them that there was something inside of them that was kind of, they were at a little bit of a breaking point, I think, personally.
Yeah.
I like how they set it up this whole episode, too. I mean, like you said, from outside news, like, we know what's going to happen with Bobby and Hunter. And the way they set it up this episode was done really, really well. It was really sad. But also, aside from that, I loved the time jump. I love the way they do that. I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. has done that a lot, but they do it really well.
The writers in general are getting a lot more brave with, like, kind of messing with the device of the show, and I think it's really paying off. Like, the show is the type of show that you can do that with, and this was, like, as far as, like, saying goodbye to characters go, like, this is one of the best I've ever seen for a show like this.
Yeah, it was written really well.
What's impressive about the writing of this show is that, especially for a network show, they play with time a lot in very interesting ways. They don't shy away from, like, messing with the stylized aspects of the show. They don't hold back when it's time to do something crazy, and they don't get stuck in episodic procedural things. Like, ever since we got Winter Soldier, we haven't had that as a feature.
Week.
Yeah. And it's something that you get a lot, especially on networks, and that's what's so impressive, that they've been able to keep the pace and the amount. this show is the only one where every week, as soon as we like go to like go through commercials because we're watching on DVR, we're like, how are we only 12 minutes in? It feels like we must be 30.
Yeah, they're cramming like an action movie into 44 minutes, and it's
every week.
It's tension for like in the show, and tension for us too, but in a good way.
Yeah,
it feels good.
Very much like a movie, and I don't know if you guys noticed, because it just kind of was dawning on me as I was watching it, but especially as you guys were talking and I was thinking back on it. It actually felt like it was shot a little bit differently too. It was very monochromatic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of grays. I mean, it was very, very, very dark. And then also, the bus had its own set that was unique, mm-hmm, and different. So, I mean, it very much set this episode apart from almost any other episode, any other field episode. So it gave them a special goodbye, because you know they could have easily have been running ops from anywhere else that we've seen, but no, they had like their own special, you know, Fitz running sound ops from, you know, his little station, and you know, everything, and you know, we had our SHIELD interns running around on the side,
the beloved intern.
But,
oh,
yeah,
Lord.
But I mean, and that was a very red, you know, the situation room, maybe, if that's what we want to call it, you know, for the bus.
A lot of orange hues, actually, when they're actually in the compound, too, with the low lights. And I really, this was a beautiful send-off, and in all honesty, as we've seen, not only from this show, but television in general, normally when we say goodbye to characters, it's not satisfying.
No.
There seems to be like this mentality with television right now that when you send a character off, it has to be as shocking and like, in some cases, as abhorrent as possible.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, like, factor.
Yeah.
If you see a character go, it's usually in a really terrible, grisly way. So it's, I feel like nowadays it's very, like, you almost have to be watching a comedy or a sitcom if you want, like, a really good, heartfelt goodbye to a particular character. And so seeing that with S.H.I.E.L.D., with these two characters, and again, we know that they're not gone for good. We know that even if Marvel's Most Wanted doesn't take off, they will most likely find a way to incorporate them back into S.H.I.E.L.D. But if this is the last time we see them, that was a beautiful send-off.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why it was so satisfying is because it was a really, I mean, it was a Bobby and Hunter-centric episode, and we got to see them do what we like seeing them do the best. Like, Hunter got to be snarky and, like, give a really good mushroom soup recipe to Interpol. And, like, we got to see Bobby with the batons and the bringing them back. Like, we got to see her kick ass and still, like, have, like a fun thing about needing a cheeseburger and extra crispy fries. Like, we got to see them the way we like them.
And not just kick ass, but also use her spy skills at every turn. Like, she's like, yeah, of course I speak Russian. I'm a spy.
Why doesn't anyone else speak Russian?
Why am I the only one?
That's like the most important spy language. Watch a James Bond movie.
Yeah, speaking of, we talk on the show a lot about how like certain episodes really feel like espionage and spy episodes, and like I was going to say that about this one too, but then I realized, I was like, no, this is a very specific type of spy episode. This is our Cold War spy episode.
Yeah, it's behind enemy lines.
Yeah, the spy who loved me, that sort of thing.
So good.
I love their chemistry, and I'm gonna miss not seeing it for a while. Like, they worked so well together on screen, but they also worked really well when they weren't together, like constant communication, and just the fact that they both talked about food in the beginning, it just shows like how in sync they are as characters and as a couple, and it's just, I don't know, it was very sweet.
Andy even said, I bet you could use a cheeseburger right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They know each other so well.
It's also ironic that this is the first time that we heard Bobby's call sign being
Bird. Yeah,
on her last...
Yeah.
Aww. Oh,
do you want me to top you off?
Shots. Shot. Every time I say last, I'm going to have to do shots.
Oh, I'll drink to that, yo.
The only thing I'll say, and like as I'm processing this episode and like processing the send off, it did sort of come almost out of nowhere. because, like, there was no... Before this episode... Like, this episode built to them leaving very well.
But there's nothing... Before this, there's been nothing else this season.
Yeah, it just was like... And now they're going.
Although,
I feel like this might have been the first episode they wrote for this season. Like, it feels like this is where they're like, okay, we know this is our tent pole for this season. Like, this is the middle episode. Like, this is the part that we have to get to. And they kind of wrote backwards from it.
Like, this is what we have to do to tie in to what we have in the larger MCU.
It doesn't feel that big. Like, it's fairly... I mean, like, there's important stuff going on, but, like, we... that like, I felt like once we... Other than shutting down the sanctuary...
Yeah.
There's not really a whole lot of world effect outside of it.
But apart from strained relations with the U.S. and Russia in the Inhumans arms race.
Like,
yeah.
I'm talking like an emotional temple. Like,
okay.
Like, I feel like that was a big moment for everyone on set and, like, the people who were, like, pushing the show.
I tend to agree with you, Jesse, more than I do with you, Zach, on this one, only because I'm thinking back in terms of in terms of some of the tracks that they laid earlier this season, and the thing about it is that it feels so long ago because we had the mid-season break. But if you remember, at the beginning of season 3, Bobby was stuck in an office. Hunter was out for revenge. Like, I remembered that May was mad at him for showing up at her dad's house. I completely forgot that he left Andrew to die.
I had even written down, wait, what went down?
Yeah, and so when last week when May said, we're not friends, I was surprised. I was like, wow, May, what a really mean thing to say. But then it's like, oh yeah, he would have been directly responsible for her husband's estranged husband's, you know, death, had that been the case, because that's what Ward was going for. So there's been a lot going on this season, but I understand, like, there could have been a little bit more foreshadowing, but I feel like for the stuff that they got, you know, all of these character beats were very intentional.
Yeah. There was a lot of character info, by the way, that was dumped on there. I mean, and a lot of stuff in the comics and very true, like Bobby's mom living in San Diego. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't count as Bobby. A vacation.
Bobby, if you caught it, which I did, when they asked, you know, have you been married, which time?
Yeah.
I was like, yes! That means that she could have still been married to Hawkeye.
It's like all of this information that we got in this episode about the two of them, we could have easily gotten in a span of like 2-3 episodes.
Yeah.
If they went back and forth between their action scenes and like their banter and their back and forth, they could have easily stretched on, but they definitely crammed it all into this episode.
And we know that the state that looks, or the letter that looks like
New Hampshire. That made me laugh. That made me laugh. I actually know what that looks like.
I definitely thought just with her other marriages, when she mentions it's like, Florence, that wasn't me. I was like, it was Clint!
Yep.
Obviously Clint.
Well, I am definitely curious about that. And speaking of being curious, are you guys curious about celebrity boyfriends' midlife crisis? Enjoy hearing stories about behind the scenes of Hollywood? Amused by old TV and movie references? Then you'll love The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Join AfterBuzz creator and Maria Menounos' fiancé, Kevin Undergaro. Congratulations again, by the way, you guys. Along with AfterBuzz co-hosts Roxy Stryer, Ashley Daniels, and others, for all the insanity, watch live Monday and Thursday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on thetomorrowshow.com or subscribe and download free on iTunes. Go to thetomorrowshow.com for more information. Guys, seriously, there are a lot of really great, awesome people working on that show. You should go check it out.
You can also see Zach in a Batman outfit in the beginning.
Drinking a martini, right?
Yeah.
I forgot to look it up after you mentioned last week that there was a...
Yeah, go watch The Tomorrow Show. And it's, yeah.
And take a screen cap of it and make it your wallpaper background.
Make it a meme, send him his way, bring you all sorts of joy.
That should be a contest.
Also, include me on the tweet because I want to see what you guys come up with.
meme that screen cap, you know, is what, next week's contest.
That's what we should do next week. But we have something else in mind for this week. So yeah, we'll save that. We'll put that in our back pocket for next week. So start brainstorming, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. I welcome it, I guess.
Just embrace it.
I can't stop it now.
No.
This ball is rolling.
No, we don't have to do that. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Just do it. It's fine.
We'll talk about it next week.
He's giving you the okay.
So. We'll talk about it next week. It'll be fine. Anywho, let's get back to this episode. Because in addition to all of these really deep emotional character beats that we have, so much so that we're drinking, there's also a lot of...
I thought we were drinking again.
Oh, we can drink to that.
You can drink on your own pace.
I need to slow down.
But there's also a lot of political intrigue going on here. And we touched on it a lot last week, talking about the larger world within the MCU, talking about how each country is individually dealing with the inhuman crises. And this one, it's kind of seeing a microcosm of what's probably happening all over the world. Because, although it's a little bit more unique, because this is where they're setting up their sanctuary state, wink, wink, a.k.a. inhuman reservation, a.k.a. prison camp, a.k.a. probably some just not good things.
Something meant for Hive.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
in Siberia, where all good things happen. Yeah.
Not a terrible thing has ever happened in Siberia.
When I think sanctuary, Siberia is what I picture.
Postcard.
Yeah, well, with the Russian Prime Minister even talking about there being a superhuman arms race, and to have that many superhumans in Russia would immediately give them a bit of an advantage. And it actually reminds me, there's a Avengers Academy where they talk about how, I think it's Gauntlet, talks about how every super science thing that ends in, like, a superhero, every alien spaceship landing, every mutation, it seems to almost always happen in the United States.
And, like, the sure, only country where aliens ever seem to land in.
Yeah, sure, there's, like, Captain Britain and Alpha Force, and there's some...
Flight.
Like, yeah, or Alpha Flight, yeah. Jeez.
That's all right. Yeah. You just spouted off a random Avengers Academy issue, yeah. So go Christos Gage.
But I think it's a legitimate thing where if you're a country and you're seeing that there are these people who are capable of causing earthquakes or making shadow buddies, like, you would want to make sure that you have as many of those people working for you and, like, protecting you as possible.
I mean, if you have a group of them together, like, even if these people aren't going to fight for Russia, if they grow up, if, like, the next generation grows up in Russia, they're going to have an allegiance.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to happen, and, like, you can also start blackmailing them. Like, you live on our land, so you have to enlist a certain percentage of your population in our army.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Or, like, we control where you live. We'll kick you out if you don't send people to fight for us.
Or, if you want to go a little darker than that, it's just a straight-up internment camp where, you know, it's not like a little tit-for-tat. It is literally, we own you, that sort of thing.
Raise them in a red room?
In the Cold War, Siberia was literally used for blackmail. Like, they would send your family to Siberia and say, if you want to see them again, you do this for the USSR. So, like, it's very fitting that they chose Siberia. It's also, like, far away, so if you have an inhuman whose power is every time they blink, they cause a nuclear explosion.
That would be the worst.
That would have been
how
the
does that fit on their whole
week?
Like balance hierarchy?
Yeah, so much for intelligent design. The planet would be gone.
There's one that every time they blink, they cause a lot of atoms to be made. So they make up for it.
Oh,
could Thanos technically do
destroy.
That?
Made, destroy. Yeah.
They just, like, have to stare at each other all day, every day.
It's the inhuman version of rabbit season, duck season.
Elmer season. I do, since you mentioned him, I do want to bring up this General Androvich. Yeah. I think I pronounced it.
General Androvich.
Androvich.
Nice.
you do a much better accent
than
I do.
Good.
But yeah, I was really excited when we saw the promo last week that we had an Inhuman who either was a shadow or could manifest himself in a shadow in some way or could manipulate his shadow. I really, really liked this guy. So much so that I was actually, I mean, it fit really well with the overall pace and arc of the episode, but I was really bummed when they killed him because I was like, no, you can do so much good stuff with a, like literally a shadow man.
It definitely didn't last long enough. I was hoping for more as well.
Well, but the fact that the way that they described it was that it was Dark Force energy.
Yeah.
That opens up a whole new realm because if somebody's able to tap into the Dark Force, if we're introducing the fact that the Dark Force is out there, that's like a whole nother...
Implications are crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, and it's also very Russian because there's Dark Star.
Yeah. Oh, Dark Star.
Yeah. I want to...
It's cool.
I want to say, like...
Mission accomplished. I came on this show with one goal. No,
if the general...
It's an honor.
If the general had that power when he was a kid, what a cool freaking imaginary shadow friend.
That is like it's like the anti-Peter Pan.
Except, I was also going to mention Peter Pan, because, you know, Disney.
That is literally, like, the most, like, tragic backstory. Like, my only friend was my shadow.
And he liked to punch people. Yeah.
it's like their his parents would be like, oh, he's just friends with his shadow. It's like, no, he's really friends
he's
with his
literally
shadow.
Friends
he learns
with his shadow.
To control it so that he has a friend to play with sandbox. Or to defend himself against bullies.
A friend that punches him in the face. A shadow that just beats him up.
Shadow boxing.
Hey! spoiler alert, but Fight Club would have been very different.
Oh, hey.
Edward Norton. Been an Inhuman.
But yeah, but the 15-year-old spoiler alert.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you should see it. It's very good.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's on my Netflix.
Guys, you're not supposed to talk about it.
Not supposed to talk about Fight Club.
But
to get back to the general.
With the Dark Force, like the implications are very high that like so he is an Inhuman. They confirm that he's an Inhuman, but the ability to tap into the Dark Force, which we dealt with a lot on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Agent Carter,
thank you.
But we have done it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before, season one.
Season one, we had somebody who controlled the Dark Force. The Graviton, or Gravitonium,
which
may
still
or may
has
not have been...
come back.
We don't have any clarity on that, or not much more. Anyway.
There's some people that think that it may just also be a form of Dark Force. I've seen that theory.
Seasons is a long, slow burn for something that's come up
means
twice.
It's going to be huge when it finally comes back.
To me...
gravity's pretty big.
Let's get everybody move the phones away from the mics and stuff. To me, it sounds like something... It reminds me of magic... like the way that like her
the M word
her mutation
who also happens to be Russian
but she taps into mystical like energy in other realms and stuff in a way that's like blends in that like genetic change with the mystical side of the universe. So this is like their way of like sort of showing, I guess, that Inhumans can have mystical powers and not just like powers like electricity or gravity,
like interdimensional.
Yeah,
interdimensional.
It's on
you
the
might
table.
Get your cloak.
Yeah,
or you might get like, somebody who can like manifold their way into other places.
Sure, you could get someone manifolding their way somewhere.
They can manifold space and time.
Yeah, sure.
And
well, I was also thinking about the night. Crawler retcon where whenever he bamfed he would go to hell for like years and then appear for our time it was like seconds but for him it was like years in hell and then back.
Did you have to think about it?
I did think about it. I remember being 12 reading that and having my mind blown.
I was gonna say I didn't realize they did that with Nightcrawler because when I think of that, like, I think of Constantine. Oh man, anyway, we real quick we have unfortunately a slightly shorter show tonight. So really quick before we move on, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, Thank you so, so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, leave a comment, subscribe. I went reading through a couple days ago, and the things you guys just say, they warm our hearts. And the comments on YouTube as well are very moving. It still blows my mind every single week that we have people shouting out where they're from, that we have an international audience at all is really mind-boggling to me. It's really, really moving. And it's the best way to let our bosses know that you guys like the show that we're putting on is to go to iTunes, regardless of what country you're from, rate, leave a comment, and let us know what you think, because that's how we get fantastic guests like Mr. McCann over here. People do pay attention to those things, so it really does mean a lot. And you'll also get a special shout out on the show if you do.
Yeah. And if you're not in our country and you do leave a rating, leave a screen, like take a screen cap and tweet it at us so we can see it and read it on air.
Yeah, we can't see the international iTunes. But we've got some reviews. Mama Lil 7 writes in again. Back to the best podcast ever. Mooncow 33. I love all the work the Marvel team at ABTV does. Agent Carter was amazing. It's great to be back with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Can't wait for Daredevil Season 2, which we started over the weekend.
Yeah, no spoilers.
And we will be continuing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Super late at night. Cherish Joy says, my viewing is not complete until I hear y'all. I look forward to the after show. After each episode, my Wednesday commute is something I really look forward to.
Cool.
Iron Spider 84. My favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows are the Marvel shows. Keep up the awesome work. Jacob, Lord of Time. I always love to listen to this podcast after viewing the show. I also enjoy the Doctor Who after show. Nice. I'm selfishly enjoying them. But it doesn't compare to this one. Not sure how I feel about that. They definitely deserve a listen in these 5 stars. And then there's a whispered Hydra at the end of it.
Hydra.
So I'm afraid now.
What is this?
Noel Angel 03 says, best crew at AfterBuzz. Thank you. Since I'm stuck in my cubicle farm 40 hours a week, I was looking for a way to relax at my desk and decided to hunt for a podcast with fellow nerds who love the same things I do. Once I found this podcast, my search was over. And the 10th Plague 8706, you guys are my favorite group of AfterBuzz hosts. Keep up the funny and insightful commentary
on
my favorite comic book show. By the way, Jesse, your description of Stiltman on the Daredevil podcast had me in tears. Yeah, we talked about Stiltman a lot.
Like
way more than I think he's ever been talked about.
It's very
before.
Important.
On any given platform.
platform. I got it. I
I've become the thing I hate. Do we have any more comments?
That's it. That's all of them. But thank you guys. We're up to 525 ratings.
What?
That's crazy.
That's nuts. Keep them coming. I want to hit 600 before the end of the season.
We should do something special if we hit 600. Last year we cosplayed and we brought in our former host to come host with us. We should come up with something.
I might be willing to cosplay again. We'll have to discuss that off air.
We'll discuss. We should do something bigger now. Just never sing again.
Never sing again.
Hey, people like the singing.
Why does that keep getting brought up? Maybe we should.
You just brought up what you did. I'm just pointing it out.
We sing Evanescence on the Daredevil podcast.
Oh my god. No, I promise. Sorry. Anyway, I'm sorry.
SHIELD.
I also want to give a real quick special shout out. We mentioned a lack of a certain commenter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you guys want to keep up with that commenter, you can go to PC Left Hand on Twitter, at PC Left Hand.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And
so that you can follow the adventures of Phil Coulson's Left Hand. Who now has a Twitter?
Whoever
account?
You are the best.
Reveal yourselves.
Anyway, but for those of you watching the live chat, we also have a little something special for you. Our wonderful guest brought in a few of these really fantastic comic books, Mind the Gap and New Avengers, and this one's out of print, BTW, which we are planning on giving away tonight. Last week, we wanted to know what everybody's choice of inhuman power would be. This week, since we've said goodbye to Bobby and Hunter, we want to know, where should they go on vacation? So those of you in the live chat, let us know. Sorry, everybody who's catching this on YouTube later. We'll have more poster giveaways and stuff.
Reminder, unfortunately, US only.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Just part of the the whole thing with contests and stuff.
Yep, exactly. It's very expensive to send things to other countries. Anyway, we will be announcing the winner for that at the end of the show. So we'll be keeping an eye on the live chat for that. Best, again, just like last week, it's we're looking for something unique. Whatever tickles our fancy is what we're looking for these ones. Anyway, let's go ahead and get back to tonight's episode. We have big character espionage stuff going on, but we also have a lot of like interpersonal beats, and you mentioned it earlier, but we had that moment with May and Hunter, and we had that whole side story kind of resolved and wrapped up a little bit. And did you guys think that was a little too on the nose for hinting at what was going to happen later on with Bobby and Hunter's self-sacrifice, or do you guys feel like it made everything come full circle?
I think it was just a good setup. Like, I think it set that up. I think it also kind of has been the main kind of source of tension between those two characters, where she always felt like Hunter was not serious enough about what he was doing as an agent. And I think this was kind of the first example of Hunter taking that step forward and becoming the great agent that he could always be. Unfortunately, that step is also him retiring at the same time. So I think it was a great kind of setup for those characters. I think it was a good resolution as well for that story. The only bummer I don't have is that, you know, Mac and Hunter had such a close relationship.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing that left me wanting, is we didn't really get to see those characters have any resolution to their friendship.
Well, we saw it in tears.
We saw it in tears.
Like, we got a really slow toast. That was,
yeah.
That
yeah.
was hard. That was a great performance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree with you, Jim. I think that the resolution there was the fact that he was the one that lingered at the very end. He waited to toast to them until it was just kind of a one-on-one sort of thing. So,
I just thought of Mackingbird.
Oh, my goodness. After all this time. Where was that in season two when we didn't know what they were up to?
I have Mac So Sad just circled on my notes.
Just tears.
I do feel the need to point out that the guy who's like tailing Hunter and Bobby, if he doesn't pick up on this, is the worst undercover agent ever.
Also, or I'd like to think he's nice enough to turn a blind eye to everything.
Turn the other cheek.
Every senior member of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in this bar alone. Yeah. They're all drinking alone. It's not like they're in pairs.
Nope.
That would even be weird to me.
Drinking
like,
alone.
Why are there five different people sitting by themselves in a very
raising
crowded
a glass
bar?
Yeah. To
raising
each other.
A, yeah. Raising a glass
looking in the same general direction.
As the people I'm watching have gotten five shots they didn't pay for
and
delivered to
weeping.
Them.
And everyone's weeping.
He did look away. If he did kind of go.
So I feel, yeah. That's
this
what
is too emotional for me to handle.
Could you imagine if that's like his like first day on the job and like he's seeing like this beautiful send off to these like very, very, you know, heroic spies, and he's like, it's fun.
He's probably fine. Like, no
you
one
guys
wants...
just go on without me.
He's like, nobody will ever send me off that way. Like, just... Try to enjoy it from a distance.
I was not voted most popular.
I was not voted most likely to succeed.
I also wrote that they must be drunk.
Yeah.
Because you know least... Hunter finished all of those shots.
Yeah. And we know they at least had one beer before all those shots, so now they're mixing their
liquor.
Beer
before liquor, never been sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Or so
look,
the
they have
goes.
Like the rest
Go
of their
college.
Lives to recover, so I think they're fine.
And wherever we send them on vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this, speaking of the fact that, like, what they were doing was pretty obvious, very moving, but pretty obvious, they bring up an excellent point in this discussion with the president and the prime minister. No one in the world is fooled. Pretty much everyone has guessed that S.H.I.E.L.D. is still up and running, or everybody who's in the know anyway.
Yeah, they mentioned like all these different, there's a lot of intelligence forces around the world. Let's also remember, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not really quiet.
No. Like for a spy agency, they're sometimes really bad about being a spy agency.
They still have a giant SHIELD logo on their plane.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons why they were disavowed. Because, I mean, Bobby did pretty much in badass slow-mo walk around the corner and shoot a general in the chest.
Yeah. That was intense. That was an intense moment because that was the most no-nonsense spy I think we've ever even had on this show.
Okay. Especially from Bobby, from someone like her.
Yeah, because it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to protect you by like leaning into this shot, which was badass. But like this was like, no, I'm cold, calculated. The only way we're getting out of this is if I kill this person.
Either the prime minister dies or this guy dies.
Yeah.
Do you think she was planning that with the thought of her leaving SHIELD in mind? Like, given the fact that her and Hunter had that conversation beforehand, like, she was getting the idea that he wanted a break and he was getting tired of this. Do you think maybe she did that knowing that she was going to decide, okay, this is going to be my last run?
I think it was more about, this is the mission objective.
Yeah.
If I don't finish this mission now, Hunter will die. Because Hunter had come across the Inhuman and was getting the crack kicked out of him by a
she's
shadow.
In the moment. That was a definitely in the moment call. I need to end this right now because I mean otherwise the Prime Minister is gonna die.
She had no remorse.
Hunter and the Prime.
Get out. Get out.
Well, again, I think...
You can come sit on the couch. There's room.
No, I'll just sit here and bug Megan.
I think it helps to remind us the difference between, like, a super spy versus a superhero. Where, like, spies, killing is a means to their end. Like, they don't represent the hope or whatever that heroes represent. Killing is literally a part of their job.
There's a reoccurring... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
Well, you might say they're licensed to do
it. They might have a license to kill.
There's been a reoccurring theme in this season in particular about making the hard choice. Mm-hmm. And there are several characters who insist that they're the ones that have to make the hard choice. They're the ones that have to make the hard call. And we see that as something that keeps coming up. And we see in this episode, Bobby made the hard call without ever having to address that she made the hard call. She just did it.
She just did it.
She didn't have to justify it to herself. She didn't have to justify it to anybody else. She just did it. And so there are people like Ward who say, I have to make the hard call, and like use that as like a blanket statement to allow for anything that they do, to excuse anything that they do. Coulson used it as an excuse to kill Ward. And Bobby used it in a more self-sacrificing sort of way.
And they convinced Coulson within 90 seconds.
Yeah.
That was the call, and they're willing to accept whatever they need to do.
She seems to be the only one to really understand the full grasp of making the hard call. Everybody else seems to be using it as a way to placate their own guilt or to justify, you know, doing something terrible. This, to me, seems more like, nope, this was the right thing to do, and I'm okay accepting the consequences.
It kind of goes back to her being the spy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like she even points out she's the spy in the spy organization.
When we first met her, she was undercover with Hydra, not doing the nicest things. But that's her job. Like, that's literally what her job is. So I think it was a great kind of, like, reminder of the character of Bobby. And at the same time, it was a really clean way of finding an end to this episode. Again, I'm just bummed we iced another Inhuman. Like, it's another Inhuman that has been killed. And it's like, how... Like, of course they're going to be angry. Of course, like, Xia Ying was insane, but she had a point. Like, now that Inhumans are out and about, they're getting killed and, like, put in camps and all of the stuff that she kind of warned people about.
That she said was going to happen.
And this guy, deserved
being
it.
Naughty. this guy
had to die, and that's the thing, is that it's a reminder, like, all Inhumans are not equal. Like, beyond just power set, like, there are evil Inhumans just like there are evil humans.
Exactly.
And the only problem is this amplifies whatever is good or bad about them. Just like, you know, classic Captain America thing. It's like, this is only going to bring out the worst in the people who get these powers.
The problem is, like, there wasn't really any character for this guy. Like, all we know is he was told to kill the prime minister, and that's what he was going to do.
He was a plot device, and that's frustrating, especially for a character with such a cool power. To have him just be a plot device, it is disappointing.
It's a little expensive on the special effects. I had to keep him around.
They looked real good.
They looked really good.
Looked really good.
Cool.
Good fight scenes tonight. Yeah.
And the whole episode was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was really well done. And I also, it sucked to see this happen to, oh my gosh, I almost called her Sky. Daisy.
Where's the jar?
No, I'll take a drink.
There we go. Every time we'll play the sky drinking game.
Because I mentioned this last week, and I still kind of have this as my prediction. Like, she's going right now. She's super defensive about the Inhumans and everything. So seeing someone like the general use his power the way he did, I mean, he was told to do it, but he used it for evil. And also, I still think she's going to see things Lincoln's way, and she's still, like, eventually going to start swaying her opinion on, you know, the Inhumans and how she feels about how they're being treated.
And Lincoln is off being trained.
I think it was Haywood was asking, like, because Lincoln wasn't there and Joey wasn't there. Joey got given leave a few episodes ago, and Lincoln is in the cocoon.
Learning and not Russian.
Not Russian. We brought this up last week when Mac was nowhere to be found, and for 2 weeks in a row, Fitz and Simmons have had a very played down role. And you brought this up, Jesse, that the cast is so big, it's really hard to get everybody's storylines in. I think that might actually be part of the reason for this send-off, is so that we don't have to keep alternating between what characters are on screen and what characters aren't. Everybody else's storylines can continue to progress. It's really weird going 1 week without seeing Mac and then not seeing Lincoln the next week.
Well, and then we introduced a new character at the end of this episode.
We should talk about that.
I mean, we know who it is.
It's Malik's daughter,
Stephanie.
Did they say that?
I read it. I looked her up real quick after the episode, and the headline was Stephanie Malik.
Interesting.
I couldn't find her in, like, the Marvel universe.
That's not a person. That's not like a comic.
Cheater.
Good job. Just because she comes and she likes shooting things, that doesn't make her not a person. No.
I don't think she already.
You mean an established character.
She's very good with shotguns.
Although it is interesting. It is interesting bringing in somebody like her, because it's like, okay, what purpose is she going to be serving in the plot? Because the last time we brought in the child of a big Hydra person, it was Von Strucker. Mm-hmm. And
not the swordsman.
Things did not turn out so well for Von Strucker's son.
Yeah.
No.
So it's very interesting bringing her in, especially at the tail end of an episode like this, and seeing that she knows as much as she knows. He's very much brought her in to the family business, as it were.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I thought that was going to end with Malik getting shot, and then, like, a hard cut to Bobby and Hunter being like, okay, we did that.
That sounds like season
finale material. Yeah.
No, I thought it was too, since he was saying, can we take the shot?
Yeah.
Earlier on.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, and, like, that was going to be the, like, okay, now we go on vacation. Like, that's our thing.
Like, it would have been a very Whitehall thing where, like, they would have just shot, killed him. What? We did you a favor.
Yeah. It was funny to see Powers Booth shooting Skeet, because I used to watch Nashville, which is where the show he was on before. And that's such a Nashville thing to do, is stand on your, like, big sprawling piece of land and shoot Skeet.
You should have been a seersucker.
Are you on the right
That's the
show?
Life, man.
Wait, did we record the right time?
It was a very weird scene, because basically all they did was say, hey, he has a daughter.
And she knows about Hyde.
And she's
and she
in
fully
on
believes
it.
In
a
this
potential
cause.
New threat.
And she's no nonsense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's it. We know nothing else about
all
her.
All we know about her is that she's daddy's girl.
Yeah.
That's about it. So it'll be interesting. Maybe part of his motivation is that she's an Inhuman. Like, I don't know.
It's possible, but that well. I guess she could have gotten in the inhuman gene from her mother's side she is.
Did we establish it as genetic?
I'm assuming it follows similar rules. Well, it would have to be genetic because that's how Daisy has it.
It was also an evolutionary thing, too.
But the others, like Yo-Yo.
The way that it works in the comics is that if you have any inhuman lineage, like even the tiniest bit.
Right.
Terrigen can activate you as an inhuman. So right. It could be 20 generations, 30 generations, 40 generations back, and you would be an inhuman. That's why they are spread out. But if you took the Terrigen fish oil, you didn't have any ancestors who were inhumans, you would not go through Terrigenesis.
Well, I'm just concerned, like, I know that the show is smarter than this, and it's so much better about this sort of thing. But on lesser shows, a character like this would only be introduced to show that Malik has one weakness, and she would be a plot device to exploit that.
She's too. They presented her as too strong.
She's way too strong.
This is a character. If anything, like my first thought, and I don't know that this is where they're going to go, but Madam Hydra is like a clear thought, only because she's a woman in Hydra, and that's like, and Madam Hydra is a big part of Secret Warriors. So I've been waiting and looking for something to go in.
So
Malik
could be
place.
Gone by the end of the season, and she's the one leading Hydra.
I was just thinking he probably has a good chance of. Being booted one way or another.
That's what my thought was, is that she's going to, like, connect with Hive more than Malik does, and, like, more and
in
more...
In a different way connect with Hive.
Maybe she's into the caramel goo.
Maybe she likes caramel goo. But Malik starting to see that he's being undermined by her, and, like, then she, like, either she boots him or he tries to boot her, and then Hive kills Malik.
And then very Greek tragedy.
Yeah, these are predictions. Sorry.
I like that.
It might be
time to go ahead and move on to, before we get to predictions, we should probably talk about a little news and gossip.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, we actually had Jim send this to us. There's an announcement, which is kind of puzzling, because it's both it comes from the Disney side of things, the announcement for Indiana Jones may in fact cause the Inhumans release date to be pushed back a little bit.
I don't know anything.
looking at a link from comicbook.com. So what do you guys think this means? Because this is the first time.
So basically,
time.
Just to clear up, Disney announced the release date of Indiana Jones. It's what, a week after when Inhumans was scheduled?
It's very close, yeah.
And Disney not going to want to step on their own giant properties, which Marvel is one of their biggest moneymakers. Indiana Jones is a big moneymaker.
Sure. LucasArts in general is a big moneymaker right now.
It implies that they are going to move Inhumans. It goes back a few months to when there was a rumor that they were canceling Inhumans, and Feige quashed that, but I still think it could shift and Inhumans could become a TV show instead.
Here it is. Slow fade. Indiana Jones is wiping away dust on an ancient ruin. He looks at it. He starts translating it. And it says, the words say Black Bolt. And it turns out the ancient ruin is actually Adalon, the ancient city of Inhumans. Boom. You keep them both. Two birds, one stone.
Or it's Indiana Jones and the Terrigen Mist. Yes. Is the name of the movie.
Yeah.
It would be better than...
And it's a tie-in.
Actually,
they go hand in hand.
Indiana Jones and the City of Adalon.
Yes.
I was just about to say it would be better than Indiana Jones and Aliens, but that's exactly what it is.
The Crystal Skull last
They
time
weren't
was
aliens. They were interdimensional creatures
and crystal.
From a parallel world.
Gag me with a spoon.
That would be amazing.
Indiana Jones versus Hydra. He hates snakes.
Well, he's been fighting. No, he's afraid of them. And he's been fighting Nazis for years.
years.
He's been fighting
Nazis
so much for years.
Sense.
They get to
Hashtag
stay.
Is
and
all connected.
Now,
George
now
Lucas, I know you watch this. Please.
Kathleen Kennedy, we're one phone call away.
Yeah.
It's all part of a plan. They stick. Everything sticks to the landing. They stay.
But on a serious note, like, Inhumans has already been pushed back once. This would be the second time. I guess it's possible they could push it up, but I don't think so. Their schedule is already super crowded. I still maintain, like, moving Inhumans to TV or to Netflix, like, I think could be a very cool way to do it. Because what you're dealing with is, like, a royal court situation.
Yeah.
It's, like... It is a little bit special effects heavy, but not if you lean more towards what they've established as the Inhumans on S.H.I.E.L.D., which is less like crazy creatures and more closer to humans.
I still want to see the royal family on the big screen.
And just Medusa.
It's not that I don't, but like I think
see the Black Bolt just level a city.
I think what Netflix has shown us is that you can get this amazing spectacle on the small screen, and like I think that like dealing with the royal court of the Inhumans and the politics around it would be something very interesting and very different than what we're getting in all of our other
shows.
That's
in the sequel.
But Daredevil's he's set in the streets of Manhattan. Like, this is on the blue side of the moon.
Think about it this way. If it's a battle for the throne, because that's what a lot of like what's going on in Inhumans right now is, it's Game of Thrones with crazy powers.
So if it is Netflix, then like maybe a three series movies. Like on Netflix.
If it turns into a television series, the only way I see it working is if they do what they're doing with Guardians of the Galaxy right now and they turn it into an animated series, because it just
that pulls it away from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly, yeah, so. And it's just there's this whole branding thing.
I still want to see it on the big screen. I wouldn't mind S.H.I.E.L.D. still interweaving.
I'm getting my Inhuman fix from S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. I don't need a separate series for that. I like it with the characters that I'm already attached to.
Well, we're talking 4 years down the road.
Fair enough. That is a long ways away. But at the same time, it's like, I hesitate to say that, like, changing the plan is, like, a good idea. Because, again, any big changes in the plan shows a lack of faith in the MCU as a whole that shakes the entire brand. So I don't necessarily see it going that way, but this is, given the rumors that we have, this is worth discussing and this is worth talking about.
Yeah.
And it is something to raise a few eyebrows. Anyway, we should get back to predictions because we are running short on
your
time.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Thank you. So next week, it looks like Daisy is kind of going... She's a loose cannon. She's going off on her own.
A hacktivist again.
So we do have, again, because we had a general who was, you know, an Inhuman, he was staging a coup. You know, that presents a lot of problems for Inhumans, and now that we've lost two of our best agents, that puts S.H.I.E.L.D. in a little bit of a predicament, to say the least. What do you guys think is on the docket for next week?
I already said my prediction.
I mean, I think we're going to start to see the Secret Warriors starting to, like, come together, and... As they get out into the field, you're gonna see Hydra and Hive's own version coming into play, and what that's gonna wind up with is blowing up into like out into other people and bringing in the outside world in a really dangerous way.
Joyce?
I already also kind of repeated my prediction from last week, and I'm still sticking to it. And I like the idea of Stephanie being a force against Malik at some point, or Malik getting, you know, hurt or booted because of, you know, her threat to him. So
yeah, I could see her being a real like a foil to Daisy, really. Like,
yeah.
Her versus Daisy, and whereas Coulson versus Malik.
And that makes sense. That makes sense with parallels too, because basically, you know. Coulson is the father that she never had. So that makes for interesting parallels. I still want the teleporting guy to come. Like,
Eden Fossey shows up, I will lose my mind.
That would be so cool.
I will teleport to Mars.
That would be the coolest thing.
He can help.
I know.
I still think that that is going, that's still like the slow burn that we're getting for the very quick shot that we got at the beginning of the midseason.
Yeah.
That's my prediction, and I'm sticking to it. Jim, any thoughts?
I think that we're definitely going to, I also think as far as seeing at odds, we're going to see a lot more friction starting to grow between Lincoln and Daisy. Because I don't think that they're going to be seeing eye to eye for long. We saw sparks fly a little bit, but I think that they're, especially as they get into the field, you know, his hot-headed nature is going to be coming out more and more, especially with Daisy being in her element next week. He's going to try and keep up, and I think that there may be some a little bit of casualty. I think that there's going to be a casualty, definitely, by the end of this season, and I think it'll be at Lincoln's hands.
Ooh.
Ooh. Darn.
I am throwing that out there.
And as we get out of here, I do want to announce we have, because we have a winner.
We have a winner!
Comics. And it was the first person who to pick this amazing answer, Jonathan Ma, with Tahiti.
Oh.
A couple people shouted it really quick. Jonathan was the first one. It's perfect. Like, I couldn't picked it better.
Of course.
No, that's... I don't know what
and
I was thinking.
And we're not talking fake Tahiti.
We're talking magical.
We're talking magical, real Tahiti.
It's a magical place
Tahiti.
To read comic books.
Exactly.
And to read Mind
the Gap. Yes, exactly. So
Mind the Gap. Yeah.
We will be.
I was reading it off the side here. It's very small.
We will be DMing you so that you can send us your mailing information. Be sure to send us your Twitter handle if you haven't already done so.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
And well done. That was very clever.
Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Again, thank you guys so much for watching. Jim, any final thoughts? Because this is your character send off.
Oh God! I think that
new beginning.
God! Yeah, no, I'm so excited to see where they go from here. It was an emotional send off. I think that it was absolutely perfect from the moment when she landed and hit that pose from Hawkeye Mockingbird cover issue one.
So cool.
I jumped up and screamed, and then tonight I absolutely shed a tear. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
String to that.
Cheers. Well,
cheers, everybody.
Cheers. So where can people go if they want to keep up with you and your upcoming projects?
On Twitter, you can find me at Jim McCann. Also on Instagram, although generally you'll just see pictures of kittens.
I like that.
They're very adorable. One is blind. And then on Facebook, it's The Other Jim McCann. So that's JimMcCann.
Great. All right. Thank you so much again for joining us
guys,
tonight.
Thank you for having
Such
me.
A pleasure.
It was so much fun
this
watching
awesome.
The episode and talking with you guys. And thank you, chat roll and live audience. And thank you for everybody who's downloading and listening. And thank you, world.
Yeah.
I do say, as we wrap out, because I know we're almost out of time, Daredevil, AfterBuzz TV's Daredevil After Show will continue tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Late
me,
night.
Jesse, Mark, and Jamie. With episodes 5 and 6.
Yep. Joyce, where can people go?
I think we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, gotta get out of here.
All right,
we'll see you
guys
next time.
Bye.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
I got to say.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.